It is Messi mania right now. Everything that he does is being covered and followed. And of course, there's no better person to talk to than from the Miami Herald. She is Michelle Kaufman, longtime supporter of the game in this country and covering it and now into the Messi period. And Michelle, thank you very much for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Sure. Yeah, it's been crazy. I mean, just every moment of it. My life changed on June 7th. I can tell you, I was actually under the Eiffel Tower on vacation with my husband when I got a call from a very good source that this was going to happen on that day and that wherever I am, I should get near a computer. And I said, oh, no, I just left the Musée d'Orsay. I'm standing under the Eiffel Tower. And the person said, well, you might want to see if they have Wi-Fi there because you're going to be working today. And from that moment forward, it's been a whirlwind, to be honest.
That's kind of ironic. You were in Paris with Paris.
I was there on the day.
Yes,
you know? I was there and he was there. I don't know why he didn't invite me to the little powwow. You know, I think I should have been invited. But it was funny that I was in Paris and he was probably, who knows, he may have been 200 yards away from me. I have no idea. But yeah, it was a crazy day. And you know, ever since then, I mean, the buzz in Miami, you know, Miami, people sometimes say Miami's not a good sports town or whatever. When it comes to soccer, I mean, this place is crazy for soccer, particularly the Latin American fans that are here. And there are roughly 150,000 Argentines that live in Miami and Miami and South Florida. And then that doesn't even count the Colombians, the Brazilians, the Paraguayans, the Venezuelans, all the people from Central America, from the Caribbean. It's a huge, huge soccer market. Especially for international soccer. And so Messi is, you know, he's a god everywhere, but he really is a god here. And so in the last few weeks, gigantic murals, I've written stories about it. You know, huge murals have popped up all over giant buildings in downtown Miami. Artists have come from Argentina to paint these huge murals that you see in Argentina, Buenos Aires. All of a sudden, they're all over Miami. The Messi's face is everywhere all over Miami. And, you know, it's just been crazy. I had the practice today, his first training session that was open to the media. And they allowed 200 media, credentialed media to come in. They had to cap it at 200. I think there were more like 400 credential requests to go to the training. 200 people. I will tell you that for the last 3.5 years, I've been covering soccer in this market since the Miami Fusion days. But as far as Inter Miami goes, in the last 3.5 years that I've been covering this team, I was often the only person at the training. It was me, Phil Neville, and the team, or, you know, me and Diego Alonso and the team. Sometimes there were two or three others. There was, you know, maximum three or four at the maximum reporters that would come to training. And oftentimes I was the only one. And, you know, I would drive over there an hour and 10 minutes and sit there. But, you know, I always thought it was cool to go and sort of get some FaceTime with the team. Well, now I'm one of 200 people. I mean, the security guards are just shoving me aside the way they throw everyone else aside. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm the OG. I am Michelle Kaufman. Do you not know who I am? I've been here every day. I'm here when I'm interviewing Noah Allen and you know, interviewing Yedlin and interviewing Breck Shea and, you know, Will Trapp and Luis, you know, Robles. But here we are now with Messi and Busquets on the field today. I really could not believe my eyes. I mean, I know that this has really happened. I saw it with my own eyes today. I saw him there running around with the team. And it's still mind-boggling to
so
me,
Michelle, let
that
me
they
just,
were able
let me,
to do this.
Let me just cut you off for a second because I want to make sure everybody knows who you are. It's Michelle Kaufman, Miami Herald, as you're mentioning there. So I want to ask you some questions about some things specifically. And she's with the Miami Herald. She is at Kauf Sports on Twitter, K-A-U-F Sports, at Kauf Sports on Twitter. Great writer. Michelle, so based on the fact that you have been the only one there, is there anybody in the organization that's kind of like going, hey, we need to show Michelle Kaufman a little bit of loyalty here?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, okay. I did a one-on-one, well, two-on-one this afternoon with David Beckham and Jorge Mas. And I was the only, you know, I was really the only local and the only print outlet that got to do an exclusive, you know, just by myself. There was a roundtable with some other reporters who cover the team fairly regularly. But yeah, they have been very good. Jorge, in fact, Right at the beginning, Jorge decided he wanted to give something to the four or five of us that have shown up all the way back from the beginning. So he did a Zoom call with us before they did any media with anybody else. He said, I want to take care of the locals who have been here from day one.
Excellent.
And I want to give them something, give them something before the masses and the circus arrives. And so we did have a very nice long conversation with him where he explained a lot of the background, how this came to be. And it was really very useful for those of us that cover the team regularly. So yes, I would say that the club has been very good about not forgetting those of us who were there from the start.
She's Michelle Kaufman, Miami Herald, at Kauf Sports, KAUFSPORTS. And by the way, you know, your comment about Miami is really interesting because that's the same comment we get in Houston. And people go in droves to international soccer here, just like Miami. And there are a lot of similarities, maybe a little different demographic with the volume of people in certain communities. But the same thing happens here. It's just not been an MLS product city. And I know that's been the same with Inter Miami, which is now going to change. All right. So I heard Jorge Mas say something about the potential. If the team went far in the League's Cup, that potentially the game could be played in the Dolphins stadium. Now I know the Dolphins owner is not too happy with MLS. Is that something that could be a reality? And, you know, I kind of think of that even with regular league games. I mean, you can sell more than what Pink Stadium holds, right?
Yeah. That's been a big question. Dry Pink Stadium only holds 19. They added 3,000 more seats on. They added two little bleachers on the corners to make it 22,000. But right now there's only 22,000 for Lionel Messi games. And it's a nice temporary stadium, but it's a temporary stadium. It's basically a pink and black and gray Lego set, you know, that they put up, and it's nice. I mean, they've done as good a job as they can. It really is. It's not a bad facility, but the capacity is small. And so everyone kept wondering, why don't they just play at Hard Rock? Why don't they just play at Hard Rock, which is 75,000? You know, it is true that the Dolphin ownership and MLS, there's always been that sort of tug of war between Relevant Sports, which is his organization, Stephen Ross's organization, that brings over the international IFC, whatever it was called, the IFC or whatever they called it, the champions. They would bring over Chelsea or Manchester United or bring over Barcelona, Real Madrid, bring those teams over and play in the summer. And I think MLS's view was always like, you know, why are you bringing this in the middle of our season, sort of to show like, oh, this is the real soccer here. You know, these are the real teams that we're bringing over. So there's always been a little bit of attention there. But I did speak to Jorge today about this. He said that what he's talking about is US Open Cup for sure. US Open Cup, they're in the semifinal already.
Yeah.
They're playing at Cincinnati in the semifinal. If they win, if Miami wins, beats Cincinnati, and if Houston, by the way, is the opponent, the game would be in Miami, I believe. I don't know which one it is. I think it's Houston's playing Real Salt Lake, right? In the other semi.
Yep.
One of those two scenarios, it's in Miami, and the other scenario would be on the road. If it's the one in Miami, he said that he has already been in talks with Tom Garfinkel of the Dolphin organization to possibly host the game there. He said that for a cup final, they would consider playing at Hard Rock or for some kind of big event game. But he has said that the league games are still going to be at Drive Pink Stadium. That's what he has said. But it would not surprise me if they were to make a cup final that final game would be played at Hard Rock Stadium.
Michelle Kaufman at Kauf Sports on Twitter, Miami Herald. She does an amazing job. She's given us great information in this interview. All right. So Lionel Messi's there. Sergio Busquets is there. It's that now seems like Jordi Alba at the time of this interview. There's talks about Luis Suarez. How much conversation occurs amongst the reporters, and are they probing with the question, how is this working in an MLS league that has a salary cap?
Yep. Well, a lot of questions are being asked. Alba's coming in as a TAM player. They have been, the truth is, the first half of this season, they pretty much sacrificed the first half of this season for the second half in the future. They have been collecting, they have been gathering, like, you know, like squirrels gather acorns. This team has been gathering TAM and GAM and all the other letters that are in the MLS alphabet. They got rid of higher priced players. They have been starting four teenagers from the youth academy four, and actually the last game there were five, one guy 20 years old and four teenagers were starting for the team. These are guys that are making minimum, who are literally coming up from the academy. So they've been saving a lot of money to use for these players that are coming in. And the other thing is, and this is partly from what I've been told and partly what I truly believe in my heart of hearts, that this situation is a very unique situation that we are seeing, which is that these guys, it's not about money. It really is not about money for this little group of players. Of, well, you know, Messi is making a ton of money. He's going to make a lot of money and he has all the sponsorships. For Busquets, for Jordi Alba and Luis Suarez, if he were to come, they already have a lot of money. They are still getting money from Barcelona, residual money that's still coming, deferred money from, you know, back-ended contracts or whatever. This is what I've been told. So money is not their motivator. The motivator is, it's really two things. This is a little squad of guys. It's almost like a band that's doing a reunion tour, okay? These are Messi. It's Messi and friends. Messi and his closest friends want to play together before they all retire. They want to play together. They all love Miami. They vacation in Miami on a regular basis. They come here. That Messi already has two luxury condominiums here. I think a couple of the other guys also rent condos here. They love this city. They love the fact that it's a Latin American city where everybody speaks Spanish. The reporters speak Spanish. That's actually been an issue a little bit, because there are only a couple of reporters in this market who don't speak Spanish, who cover soccer. And it's going to be difficult for them, because Tata Martino is only doing interviews in Spanish. Lionel Messi is only doing interviews in Spanish. Busquets does speak English, but the other ones don't. It's a very, very Latin team. A lot of the players speak Spanish here, and the coach now is Spanish only in the interviews. So they let you ask questions. I speak Spanish. My family's Cuban Jewish. We're Juban. So I do speak fluent Spanish. Yeah, we're Jubans. I do speak fluent Spanish, and that is a big benefit being on this team. The Anglo-only reporters are going to have a little bit of a tough time to keep up with the press conferences, where they do allow English reporters to ask questions, and they will translate the question to either Tata or to Lionel or whoever the player is, and then they'll translate the answer back into English. But they don't translate any of the parts that are being done in Spanish. So there's a whole conversation going on in Spanish, and Tata's telling jokes and everybody's laughing. And you're kind of, if you're not part of it, you don't understand it. You're a little bit on the outside looking in. So anyway, all that being said is my way of saying that these are three or four, if Suarez were to ever end up here, these are three or four guys who are very close friends, all Spanish speaking. They all love Miami. They're all friends of Messi. And for them, it's not about money. They are not, yes, they were making $15 million at Barcelona, and they're going to be making far, far less than that to come here. I mean, you know, less than a million, maybe 1.5 or less if they're TAM or whatever. What I've heard is these guys just want to play together. And they want to play with Messi, and they want to play in Miami, and they want to experience life in the United States. And they are really intrigued by MLS. They really are intrigued by MLS. They feel that it's a growing league. They like the Apple deal, that, you know, the fans all around the world can watch them on all the different continents, can tune into the games. And I just think it's kind of a perfect, it's just a very unusual scenario. But I really don't think that it's about money, but I think it's going to be hard to convince the public or the media of that. It just seems crazy. It just seems that they're going to have to bend a lot of rules, bend it like Beckham, you know, they're going to have to bend a lot of rules to bring in all these players. And people are saying, well, how in the world are they doing this? I think it's possible that these guys just are taking humongous pay cuts to come here. I really do think it's possible.
I agree. And I think I suspected that. And I think a lot of people suspected that at this stage of their careers. Talking to Michelle Kaufman at Kauf Sports on Twitter. I want to backtrack a little bit, though, to it being a very Hispanic team. Is that the direction David Beckham and Jorge Mas really want to lean this team? Is it really about making it a team that appeals more to the Hispanic fan in Miami?
Oh, there is no question. And that's actually been the plan from day one, from the Miami Fusion. The plan from MLS was that the Miami team was going to be the Latin American team. The adopted team of all of Latin America was going to be the Miami team. They wanted this team when they brought in Carlos Valderrama, you know, as the main player on that team for the Fusion. The idea was this team was going to be in the urban core of Miami, in the middle of the Hispanic neighborhood. Hispanic families would walk to the games. The stars on the team were going to be Spanish-speaking. Most of the top players who played for the Miami Fusion were Spanish-speaking players. The first coaches that they brought in were Argentine and Brazilian coaches. And so, you know, the idea from way back, from 1997, the idea was this is going to be a Latin American MLS team that is going to expand the reach of this league into South and Central America. And people from those countries are going to want to wear Miami shirts and follow these teams. And right now, this is a perfect opportunity. I mean, all of the signage, the songs that the fans hear, La Familia, the fan group is called La Familia. All of the songs are in Spanish. I don't even know if there's one English one that's sung. There are a couple, but most of it is in Spanish. the players speak Spanish. When Phil Neville was here, he actually does speak some Spanish that he learned at Valencia. But, you know, most of the practices were conducted in English. With Tata and his group, I've already heard, the practices are being run in Spanish. The press conferences are being run in Spanish with a few English questions being asked. So, yes, this is going to be a very, very Spanish-leaning, Hispanic-leaning team. There's no question about it.
Michelle.
And they're not apologizing. They're not apologizing for it. They're not.
Well, good for them. I mean, if they're not apologizing for it, they're making it very clear to the public. And I think that's a great thing. Michelle, this is great stuff. You got some good times and a lot of work in front of you. I can sense your excitement in the interview. I love it. Keep it up. Enjoy the situation, because Lionel Messi just landed in your backyard. You're going to have a great time and do a great job covering it. Thank you for coming on tonight.
Sure. Thanks for having me. It's always fun to talk to you.